So we are here at Blue Willow with the President and CEO, Dave Peralta, and the President and CEO of MishBio, Stephen Rapondolo. And we're going to talk for a few minutes about what Blue Willow does. And I guess we'll just take it away.
So Dave, first of all, thanks for sitting down with us and talking to us about Blue Willow. So Blue Willow has been more of a recent name change. The company has been around for quite a while. So I thought maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about the history of how we got to Blue Willow and what you folks are all about in terms of your mission.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Good morning. So Blue Willow was originally named NanoBio Corporation when it was spun out from the University of Michigan. And the reason we decided to rename it was because over time we had seen two very broad applications for the technology. Initially, the application was to treat topical infections with a nanotechnology, and that's where NanoBio got its name. But over time, we also saw the opportunity to pursue intranasal vaccines using nanoemulsions as well, other formulations of nanoemulsions. And so we've coined the trademark NanoVax for our vaccine applications and NanoBio for our topical anti-infective applications. And so both of those fall under the Blue Willow umbrella now.
Okay. So we know that you're working on intranasal vaccines. So for the layperson, kind of talk about what those are and how they work and the difference between them and, you know, injectable vaccines.
Sure. So what most people may not realize is that a vaccine, an injectable vaccine, is really trying to present to the immune system a small part of a pathogen so that the immune system becomes trained to recognize that pathogen when it sees it in the future. So that small part may be a protein that shows up on the surface of the pathogen, and when it enters the body, the immune system knows to recognize it and respond. Now, you would think that the immune system would be best trained if that vaccine is presented to it via the natural path that the pathogen follows to enter the body, which is obviously not the case with injectable vaccines. These pathogens are not being injected into the body. So what Blue Willow is doing is using our NanoVax technology to take that vaccine protein, or it could be multiple proteins, and present them intranasally, because the nasal mucosa is naturally primed with immune-presenting cells that are there to respond to infection. So we're really trying to usurp a pathway that exists in the body to respond to infection. And when we do that, the body responds like it does naturally. The immune system presents or mounts both a mucosal immune response, which means antibodies in the mucosal tissues of the body, and a systemic immune response, which means antibodies in the bloodstream. So it's two layers of protection, and maybe the most important layer we feel is the port of entry. It's kind of like bouncers at the door. We're trying to help the immune system respond to keep the infection out as well as protect the body systemically.
Now, that platform, is that something that can be applied to any and all vaccines or only a certain subset?
That's a really good question. What we're focused on is vaccines for pathogens that enter the body across mucosal surfaces, which may sound a little confusing, but it's actually quite broad. So anything that comes across the respiratory tract, so influenza, RSV, pertussis, multiple other pathogens enter the body across the respiratory tract, as well as pathogens that enter the body across the genital tract. So we've done work in HIV, HSV2, and chlamydia. And the concept being that when you present the vaccine intranasally and we get the body to mount a mucosal immune response, it's fairly well known that if you mount a mucosal immune response, that response spreads to other mucosal surfaces. So we see antibodies in the genital tract as well as the respiratory tract.
And is that a platform that allows, I mean, I'm thinking about how much of the vaccine is actually taken up through an intranasal delivery versus an injectable where, you know, the whole dose goes into the bloodstream and is presumably circulated and metabolized and so forth. Intranasally, obviously that must work in a similar manner, or is there And I'm particularly thinking about infants. I mean, would this technology be applied for vaccines that would be given to infants or pediatric patients, or just for adults?
Some really good questions there. So in terms of the protein dose or the vaccine dose, that really is antigen dependent. It's really, you know, as we've seen in animal models, and we probably have done north of 200 animal studies now. So there's quite a bit of research that's been done in a dozen different diseases. You know, some diseases, when we use the same dose that's used in an injectable vaccine, we get greater antibodies in the blood. Some antigens we get less, some antigens we get roughly equivalent. So it really is dependent upon the particular target we're pursuing. I think logically you would expect that you would have to use a little bit higher antigen dose, given some of it may just get washed away in the nasal mucosal clearance. But that's not always the case. But the other aspect of that is the mucosal response may actually be the more important response. So really the end determinant of whether the vaccine is effective is when the animal or the person is subsequently exposed to the infection, are they protected? And what we see very consistently in our animal models is that when we use a wide array of doses, we get complete protection in animals. To your second question in terms of infants, yes, certainly the intent is that in time we would be testing the vaccines to be able to be used in infants or young children. You know, once we progress to the clinic, we'll start in healthy adults, and assuming we see what we hope to see, we'd progress our way down as well as progress our way up to the elderly. Both infants and elderly people are more susceptible to infection because their immune systems aren't as strong as what healthy adults, what they have. What we have seen in animals, even with infant animals, is no issues whatsoever.
You know, there's been a lot of news recently with an uptick in STIs, sexually transmitted infections. So how do you think vaccines like yours are going to, you know, help to be part of that, so the solution to those? Do you think that your platform, your technology, can become the preferred sort of solution versus current standard?
You know, what we've seen, and some of this work has been published. In fact, the early work was done at the University of Michigan with animal models for HIV, both mice and guinea pigs. And what we've seen in those models was when you vaccinate intranasally with our nanovax technology plus an HIV antigen protein, you get antibodies in the bloodstream as well as the vaginal wash of animals. So clearly there's a mucosal response that is not evident from an injectable vaccine that could play a very important role in protecting animals and people at the port of entry of the virus. We've subsequently engaged in quite a bit of work for HSV2, which is the virus that causes genital herpes, as well as chlamydia. We recently won a grant from NIH and chlamydia, and it's the same concept that we're vaccinating intranasally because more and more researchers are recognizing the importance of mucosal immunity in preventing some of these diseases that don't have vaccines today. HIV doesn't have a vaccine today. HSV2 does not have a vaccine today. Chlamydia does not have a vaccine today. So the mucosal response could be a key part that gets us over the hump.
And does your platform technology have any sort of benefit in terms of being a solution in third world countries where, you know, there's not access to refrigeration or things like that, where various drugs and vaccines need to be stored? This, I assume, is just in a closed
syringe or vial.
Squeeze bottle for the nose. And
right. I mean, sure. So actually, we did have, in concert with the University of Michigan, we did win two grants previously with the Gates Foundation. I think that was one of the key areas of interest, is application in the developing world for two reasons. One, you remove the use of needles, which can be a problem in terms of spread of infection and whatnot. But secondly, and it really is target dependent, target meaning antigen or vaccine dependent, you know, in some cases the nanovax technology can stabilize the protein and remove or reduce the need for the cold chain. Most vaccines today need to be refrigerated or even frozen and taken out, you know, shortly before application. If you can remove that, particularly for the developing world, you save a lot of cost and you save a lot of supply You don't need freezers everywhere to store these vaccines before they're administered.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask was about the makeup of the intranasal solution versus an injectable. Are there differences in terms of, I guess, the adjuvant and, you know, the other things that are in the vaccines besides the, you know, the actual
protein?
And does that play a role in efficacy or, for that matter, side effects because of that delivery?
Yeah, there actually are significant differences from most injectable vaccines. So our NanoVac system is a delivery system. We're delivering the proteins to these immune cells in the nasal mucosa. But it also serves as an adjuvant, which is really a solution that boosts the immune response and even modulates the immune response that the immune system would elicit from the protein alone. So what I mean by that is when you incorporate these proteins in our nano droplets, not only are they carrying them into the nasal mucosa, they are stimulating dendritic cells or immune presenting cells in the nasal mucosa to sample the nano droplets, sample the proteins. And we know that when we change the composition of our nano droplets, we don't get the same sort of sampling, we don't get the same sort of boost and immune modulation, which actually is an important side point to bring up. What we're seeing in terms of the modulation of the immune system is our vaccines, intranasal nano vaccines, are suppressing the what's called TH2, the inflammatory response that you sometimes see to a vaccine, and biasing the response to what's called a cellular TH1, TH17 mucosal response, which plays an important role for some of the infectious disease targets we're pursuing. But in addition, the National Institutes of Health and our founder, Dr. Jim Baker, have decided over the past couple of years to start to explore application in allergy vaccines, because what people that have severe allergic reactions to an allergen are responding with an inflammatory response. So if we can modulate that response via the intranasal nanoemulsion system, you know, it really opens the doors to some pretty significant applications. The University of Michigan recently published quite a bit of data, very compelling data in mice, using the NanoVac system intranasally for peanut allergy, where if you vaccinate animals with an intranasal nanoemulsion vaccine with peanut extract, you can redirect the immune response to a TH1 immune response, suppress the inflammatory response, and when you expose the animals to peanut allergen, they don't have the sort of allergic reaction that the animals would have if they had not been vaccinated. So it's very compelling data, and we're starting to explore it with other allergens as well, aero allergens as well as other food allergens.
Well, when you're ready to go do the clinical trials for that, I've got a family member who will be first in line to test that one out. So, you know, that's exciting, because that opens up a huge, huge market potential.
Yeah, the amount of kids today that have food allergy is astronomically higher than what it was 50 years ago.
It's staggering. The more I've learned about it, it's just staggering. So, you know, Blue Willow has been working in this nano delivery space for quite some time, as you said at the outset, and I'm sure you've seen your share of challenges along the way. What kind of advice would you give to those starting out or those with new product lines that they're trying to develop? What insights and lessons learned can you tell them?
You know, I think the one thing that I would say, and this is based upon, you know, I've been a part of 4 or 5 different technology companies, and they span software and software services and biotech. And the one thing I would say is to persevere when things look dim. And just to kind of expand on that, you know, if you believe in your technology and you surround yourself with good people, and you hold yourself accountable to make the tough decisions that need to be made, if you're doing those things, then my view, based upon experience, is success is 90% perseverance. You need to survive to fight another day and live through the tough times, and you'll be rewarded.
So where do you see the future of Blue Willow here in the next 3 to 5 years? What are your goals and aspirations for the company?
Well, you know, we have some exciting, you know, we've kind of retrenched. You mentioned renaming the company, and we've benefited from a couple of key investors, and I'll mention them, North Coast Technology Investors here in Ann Arbor, the University of Michigan Mintz Fund, and Lion Moon Ventures, which is a tightly held venture fund of a family that's supported the company for many years, as well as a couple of other parties, the state of Michigan, through the Michigan 21st Century Jobs Fund and their continued support, and the University of Michigan Technology Transfer Office. All have really supported NanoBio and Blue Willow through some challenging times. Employees have stuck together because we believe in the technology. We've done exactly what I just said. We've persevered through some points in time when things look dim. But looking forward, we really have some exciting things that are happening right now, both in terms of intranasal vaccines. We've got six programs that are being supported by the National Institutes of Health, and in terms of topical anti-infective applications using other nanoemulsion formulations. So I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple years we're exploring opportunities to try and take the company public. We may have to do a financing round before then, but you know, we're at the point where we've kind of managed our cash burn quite effectively, so you know, we're not getting out in front of ourselves in terms of that. And we actually, you know, one of the things I've been working on over the past week with a couple of our employees is we're going to be filing a very important new patent. To date, we probably have 25 U.S. patents issued and over 30 international, but we've got a new one that we're filing based upon some recent discoveries that will restart the IP clock for some of our key applications. So I think there's potentially very exciting times ahead, but you know, we've learned a lot in the process for sure.
And over the years, I'm sure you've seen a lot of change in the local and regional biotech landscape. What are your views on how that's evolved and the type of support mechanisms and ecosystem that are in place for a company like yours? You've mentioned the support that you got from the MEDC and the 21st Century Fund. Of course, that's sort of gone away. You've probably been around long enough to remember the Life Sciences Corridor Initiative, you know, things that have sort of put Michigan on the map back when, but have since sort of dissipated for one reason or another. What's the ecosystem like these days for a company like yours?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. We've benefited from kind of the support of industry, academia, and the government, both in Ann Arbor and the state. It's been quite effective for NanoBio/Blue Willow through the years. It is tough for a biotech, particularly a vaccine biotech, where the development cycles are long and the funding requirements are significant, to raise substantial funding dollars without having an East Coast or a West Coast syndicate of investors. So I think in the years ahead, it'll be challenging if we want to advance some of our vaccines into phase one and beyond. But the National Institutes of Health have been very effective and helpful in terms of getting us to this point. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds. But I've been quite pleased with the support that we've received as a company from those various areas, the University of Michigan, the local and state government.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking some time with us today and talking about Blue Willow. It's exciting to hear everything that's going on here and the prospects for your future. And maybe we'll check in and when those long-term milestones come to fruition, and there's much to celebrate. So thank you again.
Thank you, Steve.